January 6th, 2014, Design Review Board meeting to order. We have roll call, please.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Eric Mott.
Here.
Scott Risser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
James Truen.
Okay, and then let's approve the minutes. Has everyone had an opportunity to read the minutes of October 21st, 2013? And do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, minutes are approved from the October 21st meeting. And tonight on the agenda, we have conceptual design conference for 226 Street Flats. File number DRV 13-02199. Do I have any requests from the audience to speak on any outside matters? Appears that we don't have anybody. So I guess we can go forth with the staff presentation.
So I see some new faces. I'm Angela Ruggieri, and I'm the staff planner on this project. And as you said, it's a conceptual design conference. It's for the site at 226 Street, and you can see it there in orange on the screen. It's the old Jim Hart office, which is actually that building is still there. And the frontage is on 6th Street. It is just east of the CBD, in east of Park Place. So you all have this in your packets, but just to remind you what's around it, there's an office building to the north, which also has a 40-foot height limit. That building is not 40 feet, but it could go up that high in the future. Office building to the east with a 30-foot height limit. The office to the south has a 30-foot height limit. And then to the west, there are apartments, and you can see in the background there in the lower picture a possibility for Park Place, because the height of the Park Place development could go up to 115 feet. So you've got a range of 60 feet to 115 feet in that area to the west, which is in the Central Business District. Little bit about the proposal and the zoning. The applicant's proposing a four-story apartment building, 56 residences, and 70 below-grade parking stalls. They're going to give a presentation when I'm done that'll go into more detail about this. But the zoning itself, it's in the property is in planned area 5C, and the zoning there, I'll just go through it. Basically, the setbacks are 10 feet in the front and rear, 5 feet on the side, but the two side yards have to equal 15 feet. And the applicant is going to be asking for some variations from those required setbacks, both on the south and east side. And actually, I didn't mention, but I handed out two new sheets and one changed sheet. And in that, they're also going to be requesting a variation from the front yard setback. The city is asking them to dedicate some property for a wider sidewalk on 6th and also bike lane. And so because of that dedication, they'll be asking to reduce the setback yard in the front. Height is 40 feet measured from average building elevation with an additional allowance of 5 feet if there's a pitched roof with at least a 312 slope. Lot coverage is 70%. And there's no landscape buffer required because it's multifamily near office. So, you got this in your packet, but this is just a visual of the zoning envelope, again, with the setback yards and the height limits. And another one showing the setbacks. And it also shows, if you look on the left side or the west side of the drawing, you can see that required dedication area. It's sort of at a slant where we're going to have the bike lane and the additional sidewalk. So there is a minor variation request with this proposal, and that's something that you all will be deciding on. And well, actually, three of them. They all have to do with the setback yards. So this drawing shows those requests. You also receive this. On the south side, there's the ventilation for the garage would potentially go into the setback yard. On the east side, the middle stairwell that you see there on the right is the one that would go into the setback yard. The one on the north end of the site is actually below grade, so it wouldn't be going into the setback yard so that you could see it or there would be an impact. And then again, in this drawing, you can see that lines that are showing that area, that triangular area, where there would be a dedication. And they'd also be asking for a minor variation from the setback yard on that west side. So that's basically, I just wanted to give you a brief overview, and then the applicant's going to come up and go into more detail about the studies that they've done and what they're proposing to get, and they want to get your opinion on that. So once they're done, then we'll have our discussion. And these are just some points to be thinking about and to be talking about during the discussion. You'll be looking at the scale of the project, obviously, and key vantage points, what type of mitigation measures you would suggest for, or techniques for the building massing. And then the pedestrian access and environment. I realize this site, it's just basically on 6th in that front yard that we'd be looking at, but still would like to talk about that. The same with the open space and landscaping opportunities. And then we'll go into the minor setback variations on the southeast and also the west. And then finally, you'll be giving them direction on what you'd like them to bring back to the design response conference, what will help you to help them with their design. Just a quick look, you know, at the minor variation criteria. We'll go over this again when you're talking about that. But the zoning code gives you the authority to make minor variations to setback yards in this zone. So that's allowed, but you have to look at whether the request results in superior design and also fulfills the policy basis in the design guidelines and design regulations. And then of course, that it won't have any substantially detrimental effect on the nearby properties or the city. So unless you have any questions for me, that's my presentation at this time. And I'll just...
Angela,
Could
you, do you have a pointer up there?
Yes, I do, I guess. Yeah.
Can you just go back to the setback?
Is this what their proposal,
and
or
just with the pointer, just so the whole board is clear?
So down here is where the garage ventilation system is that would go into this setback yard here. So this is one proposal. This is another. This is a stairwell. This one here is below grade, so it doesn't actually go into the setback yard. And then As I understand it, what the applicant is going to suggest on this side is that the setback would be from what their property line is now. Their property line with the required dedication will move to here. And so I'll let them talk about that a little more. But so three spots, here, here, and here.
Thanks, Angela. Okay, now the applicant, please come up and present.
Happy New Year, everyone. I'm Doug Waddell with Waddell Properties. I'm the applicant. Waddell Properties, we bought our first fourplex probably 25 years ago in Kirkland and have a modest collection of properties and never sold anything, never planned to. The one that's closest to this property is the one that was actually in the picture before. It's the Watermark directly across the street. This will be kind of co-managed and co-ran with that property. You know, tried very, very, very hard to get the corner property as well. Without the corner, it is a challenging site. With the corner, the zoning is actually 52 feet in height. You know, I don't know if you have any influence over the owners there, but they're losing a lot of value by building separately at their own time. But anyhow, we're excited about the property. We're going to do the best we can with the four stories and the challenges that we have on the site. We also, you know, I've been doing this for, I got my license in 1980, And I've never hired a professional researcher before and kind of think we know it all. And with the properties we have in Kirkland, feel we know it all. And I was convinced to hire a researcher, and it was quite interesting. This person went to different properties in the area, interviewed managers, interviewed tenants, interviewed employers. Actually put ad in Craigslist and met with people at coffee shops and just kind of getting an idea of what people want out there. And if you look at any of the properties I've built in Kirkland or anywhere else, they're all pretty traditional. And, you know, we're going to try to do something fun, more a little more exciting here with your help. You know, Watermark across the street, you know, pitch for us and more traditional. And it doesn't mean anything we're going to do anything weird. It's just going to be a little bit different versus our portfolio. And I'm really excited about our team that we have. I think we'll do a good job. And with that, I want to introduce my partner, Joe Rizzori, with MRM Management, and then Weber Thompson, who you guys, well, the board has seen before. Jeff Bates actually was on the design review board for many years. And then Cody Lodi, and then Amanda Keating over here. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. It's a pleasure to be back in front of this board here with this this project. I'm Jeff Bates from Weber Thompson Architects, and Cody and I will be kind of tag-teaming the presentation tonight. We're kind of early in the development, obviously, the Conceptual Design Conference, and I want to just walk you through the basics. I think Angela did a good job of just talking about where we are with the project, 56 units. One basement level of the type 1A concrete construction, four levels of wood frame above, 45-foot height, because we do have our massing schemes which are utilizing the height bonus, which we'll go through here in a minute. We have about 70 stalls below grade currently. And development objectives. I think the interesting thing about this site for us is it's not quite a transit-oriented development per se, but it is that kind of site that can really plug into pedestrian network. It's close to the metro staging parking area downtown, all the amenities of downtown Kirkland. And it's an interesting site that's kind of this tweener site. It's adjacent to potentially some fairly intense development in terms of the Park Place, 115-foot height that Angela talked about. But then obviously we're feathering down toward the north toward the post office and more of a residential zoned area. So I think it's a good site. Obviously it would have been great if we could have got both sites, get the corner site as well, but kind of we're working with what we have now. But I think still there's some great opportunities for a good presence along 6th to really help build 6th as a walkable street in downtown Kirkland that does kind of frame the more dense area Park Place. And that sort of gateway idea of sort of this edge here from 6, this more intense area here and this lower density area here moving, but really thinking about that edge condition. And then just proximity to the transit center. You know, you guys are obviously very familiar with the site in terms of the kind of the lay of the land here at a big level. Zoning, this is in this funny little PLA 5C area. We're at 40 feet. As Doug mentioned, if we would have cut the corner site, we would have been able to go to 52 feet, but it is what it is. And I think, Angela, you sort of talked about the basics of the site here in terms of the setback, lot coverage, height, and all that, so I won't sort of keep going back over that. But do want to get more into the meat of the presentation. We saw this diagram earlier. In terms of the site itself, some of the challenges on the site, obviously the opportunity is a great location, proximity to a lot of amenities in downtown. Conversely, we do have some issues in terms of site slope. We've got about a 20-foot delta from low to high here at the corner, kind of this diagonal pitch here. In terms of proximity to the corner here, and the adjacent site in proximity to existing curb cut here, our vehicular access to the site, to the building, is pretty limited to kind of a central portion of the site. It just kind of makes sense for us. We've got vehicular access, we've got pedestrian lobby, we've got loading, we've got a lot that needs to be accommodated here at the same time, really, you know, providing a nice presence along with these 6 foot pedestrians, and of course architecturally for the facade of the building as well. I might back up. Well, this is a good site context analysis that really three-dimensionally shows you. Obviously, this is very well known in terms of the existing conditions and the proposal, which may not happen here, but I think the more important thing is the zoning envelope in place to allow the 115-foot height here, and then some of the other heights that are happening here that Angela mentioned. It's an infill site. We have buildings, we have commercial buildings here and here, and residential here. So it's kind of interesting. It is a suburban site, but it does have some characteristics of an emerging a more urban neighborhood in terms of the infill quality to it. So we're obviously needing to pay special attention to all the facades of the building, especially on Northeast 6 here. Some of the context, we're sort of all over the place from to the immediate west, the potential zoning here with Park Place, residential uses here right across the street, Park Place. And then really our immediate neighbors are more sort of mid-rise office infill type building. So I think it's, in some respects it's a nice opportunity to get a little more residential use in this neighborhood, especially a walkable kind of address like this. Street section diagrams. I think Cody, I'm going to sort of tag team here and kind of get into more of the specifics of the zoning envelope and our actual development proposal. So I'm going to introduce Cody Lodi from Weber Thompson to take you through the rest of the presentation here.
Thank you, Jeff. What you're looking at here is a site section that's cut along 6th Avenue. The top section is looking west. So here you can see a diagram showing the watermark, the existing Park Place, and ghosted in is the facade across the street of the proposed building that we're talking about today. And what you'll also notice is that large envelope, zoning envelope for the Pike Place CBD 5A, just to give you an idea of the scale from across the street. Looking east, you can see the medical office building adjacent to the south of our property and the existing office area to the north. Without the combined site, the north property's envelope is now 40 feet and much lower than the 52 feet it would have been combined. And then you can see the larger Central Way Plaza across 4th Avenue. So this gives a good idea of the slope of the street and of how the building is stitching itself in as far as height with the adjacent properties. This is a rough estimate of the height of the condos behind to the southeast corner of the property. So we're going to jump into the massing options. Due to the site, the shape of our site and the frontage, most of these massing options are going to have some similarities. It's an interesting site because it's just a hair too narrow to go with a courtyard option, an internal courtyard, but it's really long and it's really pushing the boundaries of a single loaded scheme. So what we've really tried to do is provide some modulation and really address the give you three good options to address the modulation. And scheme one, what we were looking at doing is trying to emphasize the corners of the building and providing a central modulation to kind of break up the overall mass of the scheme. One of the issues that arises is the building entry being centered right in the site. It creates some challenges on resolving how the massing treats that entry. But this one is a good option for really kind of taking a look at the corners and. One of the drawbacks is that most of the faces of this massing are perpendicular to the site. So that creates views coming out of the site that are looking straight into other properties. And one other thing that is going to be very similar between the schemes is the way we've located the main mass of the building is favoring the south property line. And the reason we're doing that is you can kind of see the mass of the property, the building to the south. It has a larger setback because there's a driveway there. And the opportunities for this project to be redeveloped in the future are much slimmer than what could be developed on this corner. We're trying to protect the adjacency of apartment units looking into a development here. So we've really tried to, in all these schemes to, within reason, keep it hugged to the south property line. So on massing scheme two, again, similar opportunity of keeping to the south property line. What we've done here is we've rotated and created some gabled masses that come off of the main mass facing north. The increased modulation allows for some more oblique views on the north and hopefully helps to mitigate the perpendicular views across to the adjacent property. It also helps to resolve the entry a little bit better, just the way the mass is rotated away from the southern corner. All three schemes do have a cantilever over the podium. This is the first level of parking. And all three schemes do cantilever both on the west side and along the north side. This is going to help us create a little bit of privacy from the units down to the pedestrian level, where we also have a lot of vehicular traffic. Scheme three, this is our preferred scheme. What we wanted to do here was build upon scheme two. We wanted to try and create additional modulation along the south to increase those oblique views coming out off of the property. And what we've also done is we've changed the roof form to accommodate clear story windows, at least provide the opportunity to bring more light into the upper story units here. Also, we're able to create a nice entry notch that runs vertically that helps to locate the entry of the building and the lobby leasing area here. We feel like it really helps to resolve that entry piece. And again, creating more visual opportunities coming off of both the north and the south property line. So this image is looking at the pedestrian environment, the ground floor plane. What we have here is the entry on 6th Street, and there's a lot of program that we're having to fit within that front facade. The property line here is 100 feet long, and we have to accommodate a safe driveway entry, transformer, and electrical, and then the entry and lobby lease area of the building. So what we've tried to do is create a nicer hardscaped area where it abuts the pedestrian sidewalk and create a landscape pocket garden here that we can try to work with, keeping transparency between the more semi-public area of the building and the public sidewalk. You can see too, this has been further developed than when we sent out the original packet, and we decided and were able to push that garage exhaust further in the site to help keep that away from the sidewalk. We've also we've located a temporary loading zone because we don't have a back alley or a side street. It was very difficult to locate that other in an area other than up in the front near the entry. We're proposing landscaping and a small retaining wall along that sidewalk where we would landscape to buffer that. And then this is just the first level of parking, which would ramp down to the lower level of parking below. So now we'll talk about the design departures. Again, Angela introduced us and talked about the three distinct departures, one around the garage exhaust, one at the entry stair, and one regarding the dedication for the right-of-way. The garage exhaust one, we did move it back, and this departure, what we're looking to do is to be able to bring a garage exhaust element out of the ground with as little impact as possible. So this would not go the full building. It's only, you know, plus or minus 5 feet above grade. It's just enough to get us to be able to get us circulation out of the lower level of the garage. There will be a large retaining wall that goes along the south and the east property line due to the grade change. The units, the residences along that, will be looking into a landscaped buffer all around this corner, and then it will come to the rear exits there. Because we only have one frontage, we have to find a way to have a secondary egress element, and what we've done is we've pulled it out here to the back. We did rotate it so that we impact as little as possible to get it out there, but the secondary egress would go along a path that is still below grade. There is a retaining wall along here, and then down to this lower level that would exit out to the right of way. So this is the other departure here in the rear setback. Because there is shoring along this retaining wall, it's not to a zero setback. It's actually to this probably coming within 18 inches of the property line at this point. The property line is slanted, so we are providing more of a setback. And I'll go back to the other image in a second and show you that. The dedication at the front, because of the dedication for the new bike lane and the wider sidewalk, it cuts in this corner along 6th. And you can kind of see, this is the outline of the building above. It just barely clips into that new setback. And what we're proposing is that the front yard setback be retained prior to the dedication. So it would basically be along here and straight across. Our building doesn't go all the way to that property line at the front here. It would just allow it to just barely encroach into where it's at right now. You can look at some of the setback dimensions here. So the garage entry here, because of the depth of the shoring that's going to be there, it's not to a zero dimension. It's about 1'10", almost 2 feet. And then, like I said before, this one is about 18 inches within the property line. We are at this point here on this corner, I believe we're at 12'8" from the property line, which is larger than our 10-foot requirement, just due to the geometry of the site, and we wanted to keep it in because it's going to be the lowest part of that lower level. The portions of the building that stick in and out, we're maintaining that regular 15-foot total setback, and we're actually giving more than that. Where at minimum we're here at almost 16 feet, and here we're set back at 12.5, I believe, and 8'4" here. So we're actually increasing some of our setbacks along these edges. But no matter where you cut through, we'll be at least at 15 total and more than 5. Anything else? Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from board members? Scott?
Okay. Okay, on the ventilation, just a couple of clarification points. How wide? You're going up about five feet.
Mm-hmm.
How wide along the building, length and width?
This is showing, I believe it's a little over 10 feet. We don't have a mechanical engineer on board yet, so we don't know how much volume, but we're assuming it's going to be about 6 feet deep and, or 10 feet deep and 6 feet wide.
And you said it's about 2 feet in height?
It's about around 5 feet above grade. Yeah.
Anything else?
Let's see.
Carolyn?
Yeah.
All that figure is up there. Could you say a few more words about what is in the rear setback? If that's a stairwell, I can't visualize what it is.
Right here or right here?
Right. No, in the middle.
Right here. So this will be the secondary exit stair that will come down from the fourth story down. And once you get to the bottom floor, you'll exit out through this exit egress courtyard. And so you'll exit at level one, which is at...
So it's the staircase down and back, zigzagging.
It's zigzagging down, and then it'll come out.
Okay, I think I'm good.
Okay, Tim?
No questions.
Dave? Any others?
Can you show the bike lane and where it's an 8-foot sidewalk?
Yes.
Let's see.
So this is the existing survey. You can see this kind of hatched area. That's the existing sidewalk. That sidewalk is a 5-foot sidewalk existing. What the city wants to do is push that back 5 feet to add a bike lane, and then increase the standard of the sidewalk to 8 feet. So that will add another 8 feet to that. There's no landscape buffer required for this zone. There will be street pedestrian lighting. But this is where it will encroach too. That's the new property line, which would be the back edge of the sidewalk. I don't know if it will be right against the sidewalk or it will be inside the first lane, because this is a turn lane right here to turn onto 4th Avenue, so it might be internal of that street. I'm not sure.
So, and you mentioned that the driveway to the south, I got the impression that you set the project back from the north because the driveway to the south you already protected if that land was redeveloped. I didn't quite understand that.
So
the driveway is part of that development. It could change, couldn't it?
It could change. But because of the quality of the building here, the likelihood of that is much less than what's going on the north property.
I got you. Okay, the trees, the conifers, that are they on this property or the property to the south? There's a line of trees along the south.
They are on the property to the south.
Okay. And you will be doing a traffic study to come in for less than the 1.7?
Mm-hmm. We will.
Is that it?
I guess that's it. Thanks.
Thanks. Eric?
No questions.
Nolan?
I guess the only question I really had, and maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves by asking it, but just considering the departures and maybe you alluded to it earlier, but I was just wanting clarification that, what is the superior design versus the, in exchange for the, for those departures, and just to reiterate that, if you don't mind.
Sure. So what we're trying to do here, we're creating an enhanced pedestrian streetscape here with the hardscape and the planting and this creating this pocket garden. What we're hoping to have here is 6th Street is becoming a pedestrian-oriented street. If you look at the future zoning with Park Place, what we want to try to do is enhance that along here. And we're proposing to add more landscape buffer than we normally would be required to do in order to do that. We also are creating this large planting field here that we can also do some enhanced landscaping and hardscape as well.
Okay. I know you talked about that earlier. I just was clarifying that in my mind. Thanks.
Yeah.
That was the only question I had.
Okay. Another one?
I just had one quick question. I'm assuming I'm reading the new 11 by 17, correct? The typical residential level plan, I don't know what
number it is, but it has that dotted line or dashed line kind of, yeah, it's even there.
Right there?
I assume, is that the footprint down below, and that's the correct cantilevering we're seeing?
Correct. Above
that. Okay. And then on the ground floor plan, the temporary loading zone, is that's not construction temporary, that's temporary after it's completed?
That would be for residents to temporarily park their moving vans while they move in.
And is there any separation from there to sidewalk, or is it, it's on the exact same?
I think we would want to create some. The slope,
see where
the sidewalk would be sloping below at that point, and the grade doesn't meet until it hits the corner. So
if we're at 82 and we start pitching down, we're probably close to 82 at the temporary loading zone as well, but the sidewalk is kind of, so we've got just a little bit of a...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's all I had.
Okay.
One more.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, considering the lack of a courtyard, is the roof thing going to be used?
We are looking at utilizing a roof deck for open recreation space. It would be located essentially above where the lobby lease is right now, but on the roof. We're still working with the zoning requirements for elevator overrun. But
the landscape, you know, an arrow is showing landscape pocket garden. Is that in fact where the arrow ends, or is it the camper?
Yeah. So this is the idea is that it's an accessible, there'd be pavers or hardscape here, and then surrounded by this pocket garden.
And then one final thing. When you said with the other designs, I didn't understand your conflict with the garage entrance. Could you explain that?
Sure.
That there's some advantage in this older building.
Yeah, you can see by when we emphasize the corners and have a deeper recess, this corner of the garage entry, because it has to be higher to allow for an accessible van, and it dives down to the P1 level, it's higher than the floor plate of L1, so we lose some area there. And so it creates some conflicting geometries, most notably in massing scheme 1. 2 is a little bit better resolved. At least we're, you know, having the corner reside on this massing bump out. And when we get to massing scheme 3, what we've done is we've returned in to create a notch that goes all the way up the building to create a location for that entry point. So it seems to be resolved better here than the other two.
And then finally, you're going to go for the sloped roof to get the extra 5 feet. Do you have to do that all the way around the building in order to, I mean, would this qualify?
Yes. Okay. So what we're doing is we're only getting the 5 foot bonus where we're sloping the roof.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I saw some tandem parking in the earlier scheme. Has that been eliminated?
It hasn't been eliminated, but it's not a departure. It's administrative because there's no...
Okay, so we don't have to address that. The retaining wall in the landscape southwest corner, what's the height, approximate height on that?
So the height of the wall goes from about 3 feet here up to about 12 feet, 12, 13 feet at this corner.
Okay.
It drops from 12 to 13 feet down to about 9 feet here and stays fairly consistent and then drops down more.
So at 6th Street, it is, what's the height? Does it return along 6th Street?
It does,
right?
Return. Okay. So it goes from about 3.5 feet down to just above the entry here.
Okay. And you're requesting the variations, the departures on all three schemes, the setback departures?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thanks. Okay, I don't think there's anyone else, but is there anyone else who would want to address this project from the outside? Nope. Okay. Then I'm going to close to public comment so that we can begin our deliberations. And I thought it might be useful to address the setback variations first and get feedback on that. So,
yeah, that would be nice.
Okay. So, Scott, you want to start?
I'm not opposed to it. I think it's fine. The concerns I have are screening of the ventilation. So, materials used, how it's going to be viewed from the neighboring properties. And same thing with the stairs. How is that? What's the presentation from the back of the building? I think it's, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if a little bit of landscaping in front can be considered superior design. So that's the only area that I'm a little bit hesitant on, because I think as a board we would have required that anyways. That wouldn't have been above and beyond. So I think it's almost a challenge for the architects to kind of prove to us that it is above and beyond what we would have as the board required. And I will say one of the things I would maybe take into account when we come back is the front of the building is, you know, and this is just the conceptual, is the front presentation is very straight up and down, even though it does modulate. And I think some of the superior design, I would be looking at that as much as I am looking at the landscape.
Okay. Tim?
The, out of the three, I guess there's three departure requests, the one that least troubles me is the little itsy-bitsy triangle on that northwest corner, if I'm reading it correctly. It appears to be almost like, yeah, no, duh, it's a pretty easy one for me to approve there. The garage exhaust and the stairway on the east, as I look at them, I'm thinking, well, gosh, there's also some other ways to avoid those without really changing a whole bunch of stuff. For instance, that east stairway, it looks as if it's impacting the residential block to the south very little. It may just be the early stages of drafting, but it's not affecting it at all. It's taking a notch or a little chunk out of that block to the north. But what's wrong with pulling that stairway to the west so that it doesn't encroach any to the residential block on the south side? And the bigger notch you've lost on the block to the north, cantilever a little further out there to the north. You know, you are staying well above the 5-foot minimum. What's wrong with, cantilevering a little further there and pull that stairwell in and have it not stick out at all or way less than what it is. The garage exhaust, there's an enormous chunk of lobby lease area that is directly above the garage, I assume. You know, have a little bump out in the lobby lease area and then do the exhaust out of a vertical wall that doesn't encroach anything into the side yard. It looks like there still is room because the red line for the dotted grade is the sidewalk level. It doesn't appear that we're going to be up into a residence by the time we can exhaust that at that garage stuff. So that's my first take, is it looks like you could avoid these departures without detracting greatly from the program, and we don't have to worry about is this superior or not, because at this point there's not a whole lot that's added to it to be, I agree with Scott. I mean, we would have requested or required probably something on that street on 6th, just as it were. So that's my initial take. I'm curious to see what others.
Thank you. Dave?
It's better what Tim said. I was more focused on the triangle. And when it was mentioned that I thought that the fact that there's an overhang of the structure on the north, I thought, did you mention that there was a design advantage in that, some sort of compensating trade-off? And I'm not quite sure how to handle that. Did you say that?
Yes, yeah. The advantage was that it creates some separation from the residents up above to the pedestrians down below.
Okay. Just a privacy thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I guess generally speaking, I'm comfortable with the requests. I don't think there's anything really troubling there, but I would tend to agree that with some minor modifications, the massing could be adjusted so that they're not required, particularly on the east. Maybe the south and west are a little more challenging, but I guess I'm a little bit ambivalent about it. My issue would be more to do with the pedestrian experience along 6th, and I think that's something we probably should talk about.
Okay. Nolan?
And, actually, I had a question. Are we going to talk about the massing options?
We are. I just wanted to
this is just the first
take on this issue.
Okay. I would just be echoing everyone else's sentiments. I think the most challenging one is that garage exhaust, and it'll just be, if it is going to remain as a request for a departure, just how they treat it to mitigate it.
Okay. So what I'm hearing everybody say basically is, if it can be mitigated, if it can be contained within the setbacks, it would be nice to try for that, and or to develop the superior design through a superior pedestrian experience. And look at both ends of those. So as to that, let's talk about the street along 6th Street and the pedestrian street. Eric, do you want to address your thoughts on that?
Sure. I guess I was looking at the cross-section and the massing views and the plan, and just thinking that I'm imagining walking along 6th Street, and the experience there is that what's probably the more open and publicly visually accessible space of the lobby is set down somewhat, and it's grade separated from the sidewalk with a retaining wall, and there would be a guardrail there and that sort of thing. And then there's a driveway and a curb cut and then a loading zone or transformer room. And so it's not a very positive pedestrian experience. So I was just wondering, Could the lobby be more at grade and accessible and featured at that more prominent corner? Could some of the services be located in that more discrete, grade-separated location? Could there be some replanning to enhance that experience? I was in the massing views, the garage entry is very prominent. It's very tall. It's central. And I think from a design standpoint, that's going to be a challenge to make that successful space. There is fairly generous setback from the north property line for the planting area, the egress path, a buffer from the neighbor. So I just wonder if there are some other ways to access parking and to organize the program along 6th.
Thank you. Nolan, comments?
Along with the lobby, that was the thing that stuck out most to me, is that garage entry is right there. Although it's, like they mentioned, it's a challenge. You really can't put it anyplace else. So that would be, I think, is one of the key things to address, is how to make that not how to best mitigate it with that being a pedestrian and biker through for there on 6th. So.
Dave? Comments?
Nothing to add, thanks.
Tim?
I'll go back to one of my questions about that temporary loading zone spot. If it's like a lot of what temporary loading zones I've seen, a lot of times there's something always there. There's always a vehicle right there. And it's depending on that transition from a relatively level loading spot, parking spot, to the adjacent sidewalk, there's going to be probably 2 feet of difference of drop-off, if you will, right there. And let's say somebody in the temporary loading zone is too tall, they're coming really close with a vehicle to the overhang of the floor above, correct? Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, it seems to me that if that's not a requirement to have a loading spot there, if it's programmatic from the developer's point of view, I would say that's a much better place to really start developing some more interesting, you know, streetscape elements that we're not faced with this, you know, drop off or a massive curb or something to keep a vehicle from falling off there. And, you know, the pedestrian egress walk is at 79, so we'd be roughly 80, a little less than 82 maybe, because we'll slope that loading zone there. You know, there's just these odd little drop-offs and this and that's happening that I think would be better served if it wasn't a vehicle parking there, that there's something else we can do. I'm not so troubled by the, you know, the where it's labeled landscape pocket garden, because it's only a 3-foot delta from the sidewalk at 85 down to that, you know, hardscape at 82, and that's where the lobby lease, you know, is at 82, and that's, you know, we faced much bigger drop-offs on White Swan and other places, but I don't think that's that big a deal there. I think there's just the northern portion of that hardscape area is where I would want to see better attention.
Thank you. Scott?
And this is maybe a question aimed at the architects. Was the center of the building the only location that you could find to get into the building?
For the parking garage?
For the parking garage.
It's where the existing curb cut is, and with the dedication here, that's a right turn only onto 4th. So our gut feeling is that transportation isn't going to want us to have a garage entry right there on the corner. And the entry to the property to the south, the driveway entry is right here as well. So we're trying to give enough space for exiting cars and for safety for pedestrian views.
I have a very narrow space to do
yeah.
all stuff.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. yeah.
We have to have a loading zone, we have to have a garage, and, you know, it's challenging to find.
Yeah.
Is the loading zone, or is that a code requirement from the city, or is that a programmatic?
No, it's practicality. I mean,
okay.
You can't. It's different. You know, there's no street parking, there's no street whatever, so they'd have to hike it in from the post office or something. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any comments about the three massing schemes? Preferences?
Well, I'll start. I like 3. It has the most modulation and articulation so far. I would say the challenges are going to be with the architect of how do you break up the hike, because it's very linear right now. How do you work that garage door in so it's not so totally noticeable? And how, again, the pedestrian experience, because I would say that is, for me, going to be how, if the package includes these variances, can that be included as superior design? And for me, yes, if the building actually shows a way to accomplish this height and have some type of articulation even back a little bit so that it's not so straight up and down. So my, yes, 3 is probably the preference.
Thanks. Tim?
Yeah, these are awfully early, you know, massing models to look at. So we're pretty certain that we're going to get all of the, I'll call them the parapet flat or horizontal edges in under our 40 feet, and only the peaked or the pitches poke out of that.
The parapets are above the 40-foot limit. The 40-foot goes to the top of the framing of the roof. So the parapets are in the increased appurtenances for the height limit. Yeah.
However, we faced a similar issue on the White Swan, is that if where I was heading with it, I like the notion perhaps of that rooftop deck up above the lobby lease area, especially when Park Place eventually gets redeveloped. You know, there's going to be kind of this back and forth of something a little more interesting up at that top of that element rather than just a straight parapet. And, you know, if it's a guardrail or something where there's people up there and whatnot, I think that's more interesting. But if it's a guardrail, not a parapet, I don't think that, I mean, it's the old pitched versus, you know, what is pitch, what is peak? Does this front, do these elements that we see from the street, especially this street level view from northwest, you don't see a single peak or pitch anywhere in that lower right-hand corner. You do see one itsy-bitsy little triangle of the, what appears to be the clerestory, you know, ascending from north to south. But other than that, you don't see a single peak or pitch from street. And
I don't think you have to, but I do think, unlike in the CBD, you go across the street, there are bonuses for parapets up to 4 feet, as long as it's an average of 2 feet. That doesn't exist in this zone, so I'm not sure how those parapets are justified. The sloped roofs are justified as long as they meet the slope and don't exceed 5 feet, but the parapets in front of them, I can't tell from this drawing the actual height of that, but that could be an issue. And certainly railings, as we saw in the White Swan site, becomes an issue with height also.
Okay. I'm inclined to sort of look the other way and say this is going to be surrounded by some enormous, comparatively large buildings. It already is. You look at any of your site sections. So I'm not so troubled by that, but I'd sure like to see maybe a little bit something that I think Scott was addressing, is it's just very planar and straight up right off of 6th.
Anyone else got feedback about the three schemes, massing schemes?
Well, I agree with the comments Tim made, and generally I like 3, and the question is sort of the texture that we're not getting yet. You know, what is it, what texture is there going to be that kind of adds some life and variety to it? So, and it's early for that.
Yeah,
I'm comfortable with 3. I think that's a good direction.
I'm on board too. 3 is my, I would agree, is preferred massing option, and you know, just like everyone else has kind of echoed, and I know it'll come in the next meeting though, is, you know, when you first look at it, if you didn't know which was front and which was back, you'd say the front of this building's the back. So it's a challenge for sure how to treat that. So.
Okay. Any other general comments?
I have a question for staff. This project, as currently proposed, hinges on a much reduced parking ratio. And I don't know what, I'm new on the board, so I don't know what the experience has been in the city.
Well, it's not a design review board decision.
Right.
It would require modification, which requires public notice, which opens it up for potential appeals, so that goes through its own administrative process. I suppose if it's not granted at the end of the day, they just keep digging down, and if it comes back up and starts to affect the design of the building, then the building comes back to you to look at.
But what has been what's happened in the city in the past with projects like this?
We have a lot of, there's a project that King County just completed called Right Size Parking. There's a lot of new data available, better data for this area than anywhere else in the country about parking demand. So we'll be using that probably to evaluate this in addition to what the actual parking demand is of some of the condominiums and apartments in the
area. But are there any CBD projects that have gone in at the low, like the Crab Cracker project? I don't remember what the parking ratio was for that on that.
In the CBD, typically the parking requirement is closer to 1 per bedroom. I don't know what the bedroom mix is here, but that's one way to think about it. And as the applicant noted, he has a project across the street from which we can gather some data also.
So, in conclusion, is this sort of going to be blazing new territory or following a trail?
No. There's been a lot of parking modifications over the years. They've slowed down a bit given that council put on a public notice process and an appeal process because it can't affect just that time. If somebody doesn't like the project, they can appeal the parking. That has slowed down the desire to ask for it to the city. But you know, our parking requirements kind of pulled 30 years ago out of the wind, probably from Omaha, Nebraska or something. And whether or not they're right for Kirkland, it's good to look at them specific and not over park buildings and impose that cost on housing.
Thank you.
I have one last question. On the north side of the building, I saw you had your filtration system. So is that all exposed, or is it a big swale, or?
We're earmarking it for providing the opportunity for that. We have a lot of consultants that we are still working with getting on board. We have an opportunity because it is all about structure to create some landscaped area underneath that that zone. And even though there's no requirement for stormwater mitigation, we're looking at possibly, you know, improving what we have. We're still studying that.
I guess I have a question. I'm a little confused about the neighboring condition to the south. Is that a property that's been developed, or is that a street?
No, it's a driveway.
It's a driveway. Property.
Serving the office.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
The park underneath it, and that's why they enter low and just drive straight under.
Anything else? Okay, so what I'm hearing from everybody is that we feel that the variations are acceptable as long as we really achieve the superior design. And we think that would be achieved by developing a better pedestrian experience. The board supports massing option number 3, but we have some concerns over specific areas, such as the loading area, as it's proposed, the cantilever at the northwest corner, and the relationship to that to the street. And it might be worthwhile to take another look at that garage location and the relationship of the lobby and the garage and the entry. And there may be some opportunities to lessen the impact of the stairs and the ventilation tower, possibly. Is that what you all pretty much agree with? Things that we need to take a look at? And that especially the south facade, or excuse me, the 6th Street facade, really we need to study the modulation of that, breaking it up so it's not a sheer four-story wall. Does anyone have anything to add to that? Questions?
I think in the site plan, the next time around, it'd be nice to see a little more neighboring context with some contours. I'm not completely clear on where the bike lane is. My understanding was that there was a property line adjustment to accommodate a bike lane, but I don't really see it. So there's some details like that that would be good to see.
Okay. Other drawings, models that we'd like to see?
I assume we'll see that that pocketed garden area, or what they come up with that, kind of see the landscaping that they're doing there, as well as that north side of the property. We'll have their stormwater treatment.
It would be nice to see a perspective from across the street looking at it, where we can see the wall, how it's going to go with the lobby there, and then the building in the background.
I'm assuming that what we're seeing so far is SketchUp, probably just plunked down on Google Earth. So maybe, to Eric's point, is take away Google Earth for the background and actually give some SketchUp real quick and dirties for the adjoining property, so we can kind of see that building to the south and the drive, how that works. And obviously this is very quick and easy and handy, but I think the next level is a little more detail definition for the adjoining stuff.
And would we want to see more detail on plant selections, trees?
I think definitely for the next one after that, but And, you know, it'd be interesting to know if you do a filtration system, is it going to be something that is exposed and implanted? That sounds like a lot of work for if you're allowed to put it into the city drainage system.
Okay, questions from the applicant?
From a developer standpoint, we're aligned on the goals in the front. You know, I have to have a wow factor on the front. And, you know, the mistake people make when they're developing is they build the back of the building. You got to have a good leasing lobby. You want them to want to rent a unit before you even walk in the door. So, you know, we want to do something. You know, it is a very challenging. It seems simple, but it's actually a very narrow, very challenging site. And so, you know, with all this input, we will definitely work on that. And we want the front to be, again, I want people to drive down the street and want to rent it before they even pull in the driveway. And so, you know, if you go across the street to the Watermark, it's 17 years old. You know, for its time, it still looks good. And we you know, but it was a different site, different time, and whatever. But it gives you an idea of what we try to do and try to keep going. And along one other thing I'd like to add is that we got to remember, or please remember that, you know, if I had to guess 3 years from now that the building next to it will be built and it will block 99% of what you're seeing on the south side of this or north side of this building, you know, my goal is to make that happen now, but they're just a couple 3 years out from selling their business and da 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 da, and so you know I will work very hard on spending extra money and effort on the front of the building. I don't want to go nuts on the north side where it's going to be blocked eventually. I have to have a way for people to unload and load their stuff, but I'm going to make that the sexiest loading zone I can, if we can. And, you know, keep in mind, too, with the heights, the zoning really was, it went through a rezone, the whole deal was approved at 52 feet. And the we're only doing the 40. And it's because, the city preferred to have this developed together. We just weren't successful in making that happen. So we're really under the allowed, the way I look at it, we are at the zoning because with the number of square feet we have is at 40, but with the corner went together, the whole thing was approved at 52. So, and the last thing I'll bring up on these departures, you know, in our talks with the city and talks with, you know, these are considered, I mean, whether you see that way, very minor departures. So they're not, I didn't go into this meeting feeling we were pushing the envelope at all on any of that. I was led to believe we weren't. But again, on all this, we'll do our best to mitigate everything, and it is very important to me that the front, you know, that everyone's proud of it. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. So, resubmit, reset a date.
Don't need to do that. They'll come back for okay. Apply for the design response conference when they
okay.
Do, we'll put it on the
agenda. Right. Okay, thank you. So now we have to do administrative reports, or election of officers.
It's that time of the year again.
All right.
Traditionally, the vice chair steps into the chair position unless the board chooses to vote otherwise. And then you need to elect a vice chair who would then, in theory, step forward next year and take over the position of the chair.
Okay, so Carolyn.
Well, if anybody's dying to be the chair, welcome. Otherwise, I'd be happy to do it.
Do we just make a motion to?
I'd look for a volunteer. Oh, let's do that first. Go ahead, and if Carolyn's willing to serve as chair, go ahead and make a motion and vote on that.
I move we elect Carolyn chair of the board.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
It's a landslide victory.
Okay. Only real elections work that way.
Anything else that we need a vice chair?
You need volunteers to
nominate him for vice chair.
Second.
All in favor?
However, I'm the newest member on the board. Why? I mean,
you're fresh.
Why would you
fresh viewpoint?
And 1 year, why would you throw fresh meat for the chairmanship?
Well, the three that are available are all in the same boat, so it's...
We're just as new as you, or at least I am, so...
Yeah. You're next.
Yeah.
Scott and Eric have served in the past, and it's good to get some fresh blood in there.
You'll have a whole year. It doesn't really matter, because you have a whole year to be vice chair.
Carolyn, how's your health? Are you going to be at every meeting?
We'll just have to see.
Okay.
So far, so good. I think I've missed one in all of my... so far, I've missed one meeting on all.
I'm just being facetious.
Probably get there.
And David, probably doesn't make sense for the former mayor to be vice chair.
I don't know if it makes sense or not, but I'd rather have you.
Okay. I'll volunteer. That's fine.
All right. Okay, so motion to... do we have to elect him? Do a motion?
Motion
to nominate Tim Olson as vice chair.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Abstain.
Well, I think that's it, unless there's any other business. Okay, this meeting is adjourned.
Is this something that I...